was a good idea to give me a mic, but I got one. So it's all mine. But Brent, on behalf of the deacon body, we want you to know it's an honor and a privilege to serve under your leadership. We also want you not to get the big head. It is Pastor Appreciation Day, not Preaching Appreciation Day. He steps on our toes a lot, doesn't he? A lot of the times, but we appreciate you. We truly do. If you look up the definition of appreciation is recognizing the importance or the value in someone or something. We recognize that in Brent. You know, a lot of times we've heard Brent speak about the time frame that we didn't have a pastor right before him. In those days, we, as a church body, if you were here, you understand that we kind of lost our direction for a little time there. And during that time of losing our direction, I want you to understand this, and the people that were here can testify this, we never once lost our faith. Not once did we lose our faith as a church body. We believe that God had a pastor for us. We believed that without a shadow of a doubt. That's why we went years in a searching. And we knew it with all of our heart and our soul. And we knew that that day would come to fruition one day. The day that Brent accepted the call to preach here at Heflin Baptist Church answered the little note on the board, did it not, Bobby? What we got was a preacher and a pastor that loved our community, that was ready, that was gung-ho, that was ready to get in here and work alongside of us. But not only that, in our belief that God would send us a pastor with a vision for the direction that Heflin Baptist Church was supposed to go, Brent carried that vision. He was ready to get dirty and help us achieve that. He has did that since day one. Some of you are the fruits of that. Brent got in here and he says, you know what? He said, we're doing football breakfast on Friday mornings. He said, but what about our teachers? When do we feed them? We said, I don't know. They got to eat, so let's feed them. So we fed them. Then he said, hey, what about the lunchroom ladies? They got to eat. So we fed the lunchroom ladies. Y'all see where I'm going with this, right? We fed the bus drivers, lunchroom ladies, the band, pretty much everybody in the community. He likes to feed people. I don't know if y'all seen that. Stand up, love, see, bud. He does like, hey, look, we fed so many people here in the early days that Chick-fil-A moved closer. They really did. They built a bigger place. They said, hey, that was all from us. Y'all can thank them for that when next time you go in. Brent, that's what you did for us. But Brent also recognized within the church body that we needed discipling. He recognized that for us to grow as Christians and to serve the Lord, that we had to be discipled, right? And he started D-Life. We got D-Life. We started going through classes on Wednesday night. The things that you have put into place here is just remarkable. You know, he went a step further and he started meeting with our youth and he started mentoring them, and he just got in there and got dirty. And I never will forget the day he come to us and says, hey, he says, I believe we need to do a church plant in Utah. Next thing you know, we was on an airplane eating. I mean, we were headed to Utah. Like, I don't even know where Utah is, but okay. I didn't go to that class, but you see, he had the vision from God. He said, let's plant a church. You know, let's follow what God told us to do. Go out into all nations. And we did that, did we not? We go into Utah, lost his ball in high weeds. We didn't know where he was. They told us right quick, oh, didn't they? And then we had our church plant, our first church plant in Awakened City, Utah. I think one of the greatest accomplishments as a church body that we got. And we're impacting the world from right here in Heflin, Alabama, thanks to the vision that God placed in Brent Thompson by bringing you here. There's so many things I could stand up here and talk about, but they give me a time limit. And so that come with a mic. I signed a deal. But anyway, Brent, thank you. Thank you for bringing that vision. Thank you for all you do. And thank you for relaying that vision to us. And I'm going to tell you, When you go without a pastor and then you get someone like Brent, it's just so exciting to run along beside him and work. Mark Vice is shaking his head. You know, Mark, you know, it's we love you. We truly love you. And we thank you for all that you do here at Heflin Baptist Church. And we look forward. If you look at our tenure of pastors, they're long-lived. I mean, 20-plus years each. So you got a while to go, brother. And we are going to enjoy every minute of you. We love you, don't we? Thank you. Come on. So now me and Caitlin's going to sing you a song. Why are you laughing? But not only this. Now, we would have took Brent no matter what just to get these two. So it is a joy to have them up here. I'm going to turn the mic over to them because they want me off here.
Dad doesn't know about this. I finally talked Brooke into singing with me for today. So it's a little surprise for Dad today. And we lied about the soundtrack. Sound check last night. They were up here.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He would give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Behold the man of lessons along the way that sometimes you don't want to learn, and it's tough. And then as an adult preacher's kid, it's tough because you hold your pastors to a high standard. You know, it's tough to go to another church. It's tough to listen to somebody else get up in the pulpit and sit there and think, I don't know. You know, it's tough when you're trying to listen to somebody that's different from what you've heard your whole life and hold them up to that standard. But I can honestly stand here in front of all of you guys today and say, Brent meets that standard. You know, for me, in my life and what I needed, Brent Thompson was it. You know, and I know you won't never love me as much as my first pastor did. But you're a close second. But you're a close second. And at least you wear the right colors. You know. That's right. So I just want to join, you know, with my fellow deacons and this church body and say thank you and how much we appreciate you, not just on Pastor Appreciation Day. And now I'm going to introduce to y'all my first pastor and one that's dear to my heart, my dad, Larry Riddle.
Had a little accident. Fell. That's tough for old guys. So you old guys don't do that. It's tough. This is an honor like you would never believe. I saw him grow up. I saw him as a little boy run up down the road with my son. I saw him jumping over every dirt pile they could find with their bicycles. Wondered back in those days if they'd ever get grown. If they'd ever grow up. But you know, it was wonderful when I heard that little fella got saved up at Edwardsville Baptist Church. Pretty wonderful to hear a few years later, Brent's been called to preach. It was wonderful to see him, hear about him, ask about him, everybody that in the community about Brent Thompson. Got to preach for him a lot of times up in Georgia and loved every minute of it. It's been a joy to have him come here as pastor and to be a part of what he's trying to do. And I want to tell you, I don't think there's any place anywhere that we could have found anyone better to do the job that he's done here. Amen. I was going to share with you for just a little bit about this subject. God always has a man. We were praying. We were praying like crazy. We wanted so much for God to send us a man. You know what? I believe with my heart that God always has a man. I believe he has a man for the place that he wants him to be. And then I decided, well, that probably is not the best way to be able to share what our pastor has done. It might be better if we could just talk a little bit about God's man. The call of God is a call by God to individuals who have trusted him and who have given their hearts to his son Jesus Christ. Most of us have heard about mama call preachers. You ever hear of those guys? Mama call preachers are the guys that we find in some of our churches today whose mama called them and wanted them to go to seminary and wanted them to be a pastor. And let me tell you, it doesn't work. It's not at all effective, never works. I was in seminary with some guys and I'd see them leave it in the middle of the night because somewhere they had come face to face with the fact that if they were going to preach the gospel, they were going to have to be God's man, and they didn't want to give it up. They didn't want to give everything up. I've seen girls tell their husbands in seminary, we got to go. We ain't going to do this for the rest of our lives. But let me tell you, our pastor is one of the special ones. 1 Samuel 13:14, Samuel is talking to a should have been, could have been, might have been king of the nation. But as he looked at him and he talked to him in that last bit of that last conversation, actually in the 14th chapter, in the 13th or 13th chapter, in the 14th verse, he looked at him and he said, "But I got a man who's after God's own heart." I believe today that that's exactly what is required to do the work that God has called us to do and him to do and every one of us to do in our world. What does it mean? What does it really mean when you want to be or you strive to be that man after God's own heart? It means that there will be a harmony in your life with the things of God. It means that your life will be filled with the same burdens that burden Jesus Christ and the Father. Your heart will be filled with those things that sometimes you feel like you want to stop your life, and then God prods us and he pokes us a little bit and he helps us to understand that what we're about is the most important thing in our world. You see, Pastor Appreciation Day is a wonderful day. I always thought that was, man, this is going to be good, you know. Hey, I don't want to tell you something. It was never as good as seeing some little boy or girl run down the aisle to be saved. Because I realized that's what I was there for. That was what God wanted me there for. That's what he wanted for my life. When you're a man after a woman after God's own heart, you've become deeply sensitive about the spiritual things. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it's explained this way. "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." Wow. Today, that's where we need to be, and that's where I believe today our pastor stands. No hidden closets, you know, no hidden things swept under the rug, none of those kinds of things. A deeply motivated man, a man who's motivated by just the very presence and the power and the ability of God in his own life. God isn't looking for magnificent specimens. He's not looking for the prettiest guy. He's not looking for the strongest guy. He's looking for the deeply spiritual man who genuinely is humbled by the power of God, who's honest to the very core of his being and lives with full integrity. Full integrity is something we all fail at sometimes. I've failed. Others have failed. Most of us have failed at some point in time. I fear that America has failed in this question of integrity. Listen to the synonyms, a couple of synonyms in the Hebrew word. Thamimon is a word that is translated, and it means integrity, complete, whole, innocent, having the simplicity of life, wholesome, sound, and inspired. It's what you are when nobody's looking. It's what you are when you have to turn your back on the world and walk in a new way. I thought it was the end of my life in Anniston, Alabama, when the newspaper wrote an article about me and said he's nothing but an old hard Baptist preacher. But I want to tell you, there's nothing hard about the Word of God. Brent is teaching us that there's nothing hard about the Word of God. It's where the joy of life and living comes from. It's here that we find the strength and the joy to walk through the difficult days of our life. Ah, a man after his own heart. God knew. God had a man when we were looking, and he sent us this man. I can emphatically say to you today that he has a heart for God. He has a heart after God. He wants those things. He listens to God. He wants God to be at work in his life continuously. Every day I hear him talk about prayers every day, and I'm reminded of the joy of that time in my own life. Love listens. And I would share with you that Brent Thompson listens to the Word of God. He listens to what God has to say to him in every area of his life. I believe that with all my heart. And this is my son. Listen, I want you to listen to what he says. Mark 9:7, you remember what was happening there. They were just coming to baptize Jesus, you remember? Boy, something amazing was happening. You remember what they said? What the word came from heaven, I'm talking about, a voice spoke from heaven. And he said, "This is my son whom I love." Boy, I love that part, but it's more than that. There's one more phrase that I love to talk about and preach about. You know what it said? It said, "You listen to him." Listen, I want to tell you something. I believe Brent Thompson is a man who listens to what God has to say. A heart that's full of love listens first. The Lord loves, he longs to fill the heart of those who are willing to listen. He says this, he said to those of us who today love him and want him and want to be filled with him, he says to love our enemies, do the good to those that hate you, love. We have to do that. Brent said last Sunday, there's some people that aren't easy to love. We gotta love them. Brent's love is so slow to speak and quick to listen. He doesn't seek to impress people with his smart, clever speech. Have you heard pastors like that? I've been around some guys who were more important. It was more important to them to impress you than it was to impress the Father. Brother, I don't think that's where we are today. We stand in a place where our pastor stands before us and he speaks the Word of God and he listens to God as God leads him. And not only does he listen to the Father, but he listens to you and I in our troubles. In our difficulties, in the hard places of our life, he always listens. He and we are most comfortable in our when our goal is to listen to him and then to carry out the message and the plan that he has. Isn't it wonderful to have a plan from God? Boy, I want to tell you, I can hardly imagine how it must have felt when you were thinking about all the way halfway across the world, it seemed, to join a church and to take our place and be starting a church. Wow, I know how it feels, brother. We started one in Mexico, and I want to do it as a great thing. God bless it. And guess what? Our church is getting to enjoy that. We're getting to see what it means to reach out to the world and teach them and share with them the call of Jesus Christ. A heart full of love listens first to the Lord. Brent Thompson loves the Lord and listens to him completely, I think. Brent's words are often incubated in his heart as he listens to God speaking, and they have a positive effect on his hearers. I praise the Lord for those little boys and girls, those young adults, these young people who walk down the aisle to receive Jesus Christ. They responded to hearts that were incubated in his life. God's man is enthusiastic. The words entheos, these are the language of the Bible. Entheos means in God. In God. Entheos. In his word. You think that God's man, our pastor, might be entheos? I believe he's living and breathing and making his life in the things of God in this place. I see it in every effort of our church. In everything that we do, I see God at work and God involved in doing some great things. Our training may be laborious. He makes it tough. He ain't easy. He doesn't do it the easy way. He does it, but I want to tell you, this plan is just a dot. We are just a dot in the plan of God for eternal life for every man, woman, boy, or girl in this world. If Jesus could, and he could, there's nothing he couldn't do, but he says it has to be of our will. We have to want him. We have to want to be saved. And he says that we are a part of that plan of bringing men to that place in life. I would say to you, Brent, as a seasoned coach, has helped us to clarify what it is God's called us to do. As a coach, he has helped us in our commitment to Christ and to our sometimes wobbly convictions. Sometimes we are a little wobbly in our convictions. Brother Brent, we appreciate you. We love and support your leadership. And we seek to join you in reaching our world for Jesus. We know you're God's man for our church. And I think that we ought to give glory to God for Brent and Angie and the family today. And maybe it be a rousing standing applause. Would you join me in doing that? Brother Brent, we love you, we appreciate you, and we stand here as those who would go wherever you send us. Thank you, brother. Just tough getting old. Thank you, buddy. Love you.
Such a precious time to be in his presence, isn't it? We're talking this morning in Sunday school, the presence of Jehovah. God's presence is here. It's when you worship corporately, when you're in small group studies, when you sing, when you preach, when you teach, when you pray. You're in the presence of Jehovah. Isn't that amazing? Just astounding. We want to sing that for you this morning, in the presence of Jehovah. And if you have any need of prayer this morning, you come. If you've never been saved, you come. We'll gather around you. Any need, any reason, you come.
In and out of situations that tug of war at me, all day long I struggle for answers that I need. Then I come into His presence, all my questions become clear, and for that sacred moment, no doubts can
I told Bobby I needed 2 minutes and 2 seconds. As Chuck Woolery, y'all remember Love Connection? Some of y'all ain't old enough to remember. Y'all remember when Chuck Woolery did the Wheel of Fortune? Man, you are old, right? Hey, real quick, Angie and I are humble, grateful, and this is a good excuse to get my little man here. I have very few accomplishments in this life, but between Caitlin and Brooklyn, leave out these two on the end. This is my greatest accomplishment. And Angie and I will be married 34 years in 2 weeks. And Rob's dedication day is on that day. And his birthday's the 19th. So it's going to be a fun weekend, Jared, right? I need one after yesterday. We'll give him one every 40 years, Brother Larry. But it didn't need to be today. And but anyhow, thank God our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, only lean on Jesus' name. that's a solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Let me share this with you. I'm done. One, Brother Larry, first time I remember Brother Larry was in a horse barn. And my daddy rode horses, and I remember loading them in them trailers and going to Roanoke and every back alley in Alabama and Georgia showing horses. Made zero sense to me, but they enjoyed it a lot. And Emma's a legacy of your love for horses. And God bless you, honey. It is. It's nice stuff now compared to then. They'd lock you in the tech room in my days. But turn the lights off on you in a dark barn and listen to you scream for your mama. But here's something I want to share. I don't know if I've ever shared this. And I want to pray, one, before I forget. We got a team of four going out to Morgan, Utah Thursday to help finish a basement in Morgan Grace Church. Brother Robbie Brown, Wayne Arnett, Brother Jim Tullis, and Brother Glenn Smith are going to go. We're going to pray for them here at the end of this too. But this is something I may have shared privately or with the deacons or something, but there was something that happened one time before I knew I was coming home, which is a hard thing to do. It really is. Because some people come home and they come back from somewhere else and act like they know everything. Nobody can't stand them, right? I knew I wasn't that guy, and I didn't want to be that guy. I didn't want to be like, hey, I went off and learned a few things you bumpkins don't know, and I've got edumocated, and I'm going to teach y'all something. Now, I'm not that kind of guy. But I was afraid, you know, folks would think I was. And but I was awakened one night in a cold sweat. And this was before I even knew that Heflin was even looking for a pastor. I was deeply engrossed in what I was doing in Georgia. I'm a very loyal person, and when I'm all in, I'm all in. And I was all in. I was in a tough situation. Church was deeply in debt when I got there, and we were working to get out of that. It was very crippling to the mission, and it was a lot of stress. When you're a pastor, you just don't worry about your own finances. You worry about the church. I mean, you know, you want the church to be healthy. That's why I encourage you just be faithful every week. And every time you get paid, and God said he'd fill our barns up. Let's just trust him. I was awakened one night. I'd been kind of stressed. And I woke up. I had this dream that I was no longer the pastor at Spring Creek in Rome where I'd served 10 years. It scared me. Because I wanted to see it through. I wanted to. See, I had no intentions, had no thoughts of leaving, and it scared me that I was no longer the pastor of that church. I thought, God, what would I do? And I was awake for a while, and I said, Lord, you know, I wasn't trying to make a deal with God. I was just letting him know the desire of my heart, and that's a different. I said, Lord, if you ever do move me, I said, well, you know, growing up in Heflin, I knew what small town life was about. I knew the bad, no nosy people, busybodies. I knew the bad stuff. Y'all, it's not you, it's your neighbor, your third cousin, right? But I said, but there was a lot of good things. I thought about Riddle Us thinking we was evil Knievel. And we went to the emergency room several times, just like he did. I thought about all those things. I thought about the good things. I thought about the tasty dip when we had one. I'm not bitter, but I'm getting there. But anyhow, I thought about all that stuff. I thought about pop jar burgers and four hamburgers for $1, and now it costs you $4 a piece, I'm sure. But I mean, I just thought about all these things and how, you know, good. And I thought about being an athlete and a student here, and I thought about, you know, football breakfast you mentioned. I said, you know, God, if you ever do move me, I'd like to be somewhere kind of like that where it wouldn't spread out, you know, where I really want to make a difference. I want to influence people for God and for good, and I want to be able to influence our schools, and I want to be able to influence our teachers and coaches and athletes. I want to be able to influence anybody you'll give me a shot at. And I really think, God, you know, in that context, that might be best, if that's your will. And I was very careful about that. But I said, I really want to see this through. And then not long after, Brother Larry and I would talk from time to time, and he would come, he preached for me several times there in Rome and helped me with a men's conference or two, and he's been a friend to me since the days in the horse barn. said something to me. He said, he'd called me a couple of times about if I was considering going anywhere this for. And I know I'm good. And this time he called, something was a little different. He said, I'd really like to put your name before a committee. I just need a resume. I said, well, Larry, I've had two people ask me for a resume in my life, you and Stan Wilkins, and two people I had a lot of respect for. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pray. And he said, I believe if you'd come back to Heflin, it'd be a game changer. That was his words. Come here, boy. Come here, boy. I know who you want. I know who you want. I know who you want. This is my game changer right here. Made me halfway like his daddy. But anyhow, I have to like him now. He's the father of my grandson. But anyhow, Brother Larry said, I believe it'd be a game changer. And I said, well, you know, I don't want to be anywhere that I can't be an agent of change for the glory of God. I've not come here to try to turn your apple cart upside down and change everything you do because it's bad. I just believe it could be better. It could be God's best. And what we've changed, I know it's made y'all uncomfortable sometimes, but there's no growth in the comfort zone. And there's no comfort in the growth zone, right? So it's going to be a little uncomfortable. You can see there's a lot of stuff going on. We're preparing to share some things with you real soon about the future of our facilities and our property. There's some preparatory work going on that needs to go. And man, I want you to know you got a group of servants around here, all the way around, using your gifts for the glory of God. And I want you to know the things that's happening here are amazing. And now that we're connected with two churches in Utah, yeah, you tell them, preach, boy. Say, roll tide. Yeah. Or slow tide, right? Yeah. But nevertheless, I just want to tell you, there was a time I was scared because I felt like something may be changing. I didn't want it to. But I praise God it did. Praise God it did. And I just want you to know, Angie and I do deeply love you. And there ain't nothing you can do about it, okay? Brother Bobby's asked me to have a blessing over food, and I'm going to let him do it because he's one of the greatest prayer warriors I know, amen? And I appreciate you. Rob, Bobby, pray for it, and dismiss.
Once again, we do appreciate y'all being part of this special day with us, and we are going to have lunch, and, you know, Brent likes to eat and feed people, right? So, anyway, we're good for that, and y'all come on down right after this. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity that you've given us today. Lord, we thank you for the spirit of love that permeates this room. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us and what you've done to us. And, Lord, we pray now for the group that's going to Utah. We ask, Lord, for safe transit for them and wonderful things done for your name's sake. And then we pray, God, for the blessing on the food and all that have prepared it. All these things we ask in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen.